transformation. You remember when you were lost and it changed? You saw Jesus. How did you see Jesus? In the Bible and in the Christian people. Huh? And then you said, yes, hallelujah, Hosanna. And you started singing. And you became a crazy believer like all of the rest of us, right? But even after becoming a believer, then still there's struggles. And you can, day by day, you may fall down, but you get back up because Jesus lifts you back up. And I remember traveling in India, going into Nepal, helping the new believers. And I met Cher. There's in the back row with the chesma there, with her nice chesma, right? That's the word for spectacles, right? We have Cher, right? Now, he was living in Pokhara, Nepal, and we started a new church, and he was there in Pokhara, Nepal, with Pastor Nakaji Gurung, and we had a beautiful time with Cher. And I met him in 2009, and this is the first time I'm meeting him again. That's, 16 years ago, brother, I met you. And how I can meet him here in London 16 years later? Nepal to London, huh? So God is moving here, huh? And I'm so blessed to be with you. And so I want to open up the scriptures, the Word of God. I have some notes. We can start with the notes that I prepared today. And I have a surprise for you. What do we have here? The notes are coming. It's the book of, if you have a Bible, open to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. All right? And in Psalms chapter 1, we're going to open up a secret to help you understand the Bible. Here we go. Now, the spiritual pharmacy of the book of Psalms. Now, I'll discuss Psalm 1, 2, and 3. Now, you see, I've given a question here. What is the emotional and psychological problem in the Psalms, and what is the spiritual medicine? This is two questions that you can ask to God as you open up the Psalms. Everyone loves to read the Psalms because every psalm is a prayer. Every psalm is a song to sing. But every psalm was written by someone, a man of God, who is struggling. Amen? I mean, do you feel the struggle? Because even we believers in God, sometimes we are not victorious at all. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we experience shame and we experience pain, rejection. And sometimes we experience our prayers not being answered. We're waiting for the answer to prayer. And what do? We pray again and we read the book of Psalms. Because every chapter in the book of Psalms has an emotional problem, a psychological problem. And what is the medicine for that, right? If I go to a pharmacy here in London, I have a stomach problem, I have some body problem. There are pharmacists who know every medicine and they can give me what I need. How long does a pharmacist have to study? 4 years maybe? I don't know. Maybe longer, right? And the man stands behind the counter and you tell, now you have to get a doctor's prescription also. But the pharmacist knows the medicine, amen? Now, I have good news, a surprise for you today. At the end of our message today, before we have our fellowship dinner, our lunch, every one of you, if you pay attention, today you can become a spiritual pharmacist. Amen? I'm going to graduate you, but you have to do some homework, okay? We're going to ordain you. You're going to be ordained to be a spiritual pharmacist because you can help other people in their struggle. Huh? If you read the book of Psalms, now, every psalm has every emotional struggle known to mankind. It's there. 150 chapters. Every psalm has at least 5 or 6 medicines. So there must be thousands of medicines that the scripture's like a treasure, you know? It's like we're digging for the treasure in the Bible, amen? And we're finding medicines and gold and jewelry and this valuable word of God we have before us, don't we? Huh? And look at Psalm chapter 1. Let's, if you have the scripture, you can put just there, Psalm chapter 1. I'm going to quickly show you how you can discover the medicine, right? Everyone knows Psalm chapter 1, amen? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. Now, what is the problem in this psalm? The problem is having bad friends. Amen. Having bad associations. There's a problem. Many people, especially young people, as I speak, I love to speak to young people in the back row. Amen. Especially young people. Now, it happens to old people as well. We meet people and they become a bad influence on us. We make the wrong friends. We meet ungodly people. We meet the scornful, the mockers, people who mock God and scorn the truth. And you know, we should love those people, but if you spend too much time with them, if you spend too much time participating with them, they rub off on you. They affect you, don't they? And they eat at your soul. And what is this medicine here? If you have an emotional problem of having bad friendships, everyone's had bad friendships, right? If you have the wrong friends, that's an emotional problem. Did you know that? That's a psychological problem. Everyone has struggled with this, having bad friends. Now, we love all people, but the medicine, what is the medicine? It's a difficult medicine. It says, don't walk with them, don't stand with them, and especially don't sit with them. But instead, the medicine is to delight in the Word of God and to meditate in the day. And then maybe God wakes you up in the night. Read the Bible, meditate in the night of the Word of God. Amen. And that is that's a good medicine. Delighting, just like ice cream. Do you delight in ice cream? Delight in the Word of God more than ice cream. Amen. And then meditate in the Word of God in your private time in your home. That's a medicine. But the negative medicine, the bitter medicine, is sometimes you have to cut people off, don't you? You have friends, and you say, hey, listen, you get on the phone. Hey, friend, I'll pray for you. You anything you need, I'll give it to you. But I cannot spend time with you because you are affecting me. Huh? Your negativity is making me negative. Have you ever met a negative person? Complaining. Did you see that? Watching the news every day. How many people watch the news every day and get negative? Huh? What do you do? Cut it off, amen? Get that negativity out of your life, amen? The negative people should be out of your life. Now, you love them and you say, as soon as you change and become a positive person of faith and hope in Jesus, I'll spend time with you. But until then, I'll pray for you. I'll tell you God loves you. But your negativity is making me negative. So, you know, sometimes it's your family members. Uh-oh. Sometimes it's not your friends. But sometimes you may have family members who are negative and they're affecting you. Now, you can't cut off your family members. But you can watch yourself, right? Don't sit with the family member for hours and hours talking about negativity, right? Or a church member. Sometimes a church member can become negative. Oh, I can't believe this. And what about that? Hey, rebuke them in a loving way. Say, no, listen, I rebuke you. Don't be negative. Speak words of faith, right? Because any negativity will be passed on like a disease, amen? And so there's a spiritual medicine in this psalm. Bad friends, you have to not sit with them. That's a medicine, and you delight in the Word of God. So that's an easy chapter, right? But what about the most exciting chapter in the book of Psalms? Psalm chapter 2. Look at the next chapter. See, I'm teaching you like a pharmacist how to discover the medicine in every psalm. Now, when you read the book of Psalm chapter 2, it says this. Psalm chapter 2. Why do the heathen rage? Do you have Psalm chapter 2 there? Psalm chapter 2, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth themselves and the rulers take counsel together and against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heaven shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Now I'm stopping there. Stop at verse 4. Now what is the problem here, right? Now, Psalm chapter 2 is a deep, deep, deep chapter in the Word of God because it's a prophecy of Jesus Christ coming, right? This is predicting the Messiah is coming. And all the Pontius Pilate and King Herod and the evil rulers coming against the anointed of the Lord. But it also has an application to us personally. Now, in Psalm 2, it says, the evil people are against the anointed of God. They're fighting the anointed of God. Jesus Christ is, the word Messiah means Abishik, the anointed. Huh? But in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, every Christian believer is Abishik, which means anointed by God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are anointed. You should think of yourself like that. Don't introduce yourself like that. I am the anointed. No. But you should know with confidence that Jesus Christ has anointed you as a believer, as a child of God. You are a priest. Every believer is a priest of God, directly to God. And Jesus Christ also was the anointed, right? So there's a double application to this chapter. There's a prophetic application to Jesus and a practical application to your life. But what is the problem? Evil government rulers fighting the believers of God. Now, I'm so happy that I'm in a nation like the UK where that never happens. In other words, what is the problem in chapter 2? Corruption in the government. Now, in India, where I live, we have a problem with the corruption in the government. But I'm so happy I'm in the UK now because y'all don't have that problem, right? No corruption in the government here. Oh. Now, you know something? When I go to America, I found that there's corruption in the government in America. On both sides. So what is the medicine for dealing with corruption and attacks from the government rule and the evil rulers? Huh? I love this medicine. It's Psalm chapter 2, verse 4. The medicine is, he that sits in the heaven shall laugh. Haso. It's a laughter of victory. God is laughing because he already finished the victory. Amen? Here we are struggling. Oh, chinta, chinta, worry, worry. God says, ha, ha. Right? If we hear the laughter of God, that will be medicine for us because Proverbs 17, verse 22. You can put that up. Proverbs 17, verse 22. I hope I quoted the right frame. It says, a merry heart does good. Like what? A merry heart, which is laughter. A merry heart is a medicine. So how can you be depressed and sad when God is laughing? You know, it happens like that sometimes with my wife, Bethany. My wife, Bethany, has a laugh that everyone can hear. Have you ever met someone like that? That they laugh loudly. Ha ha! I can't even imitate her laugh, but when you hear my wife laugh, people in the back row, they don't know what she's laughing about, but they join in laughing. They just laugh. She's laughing. I don't know what we're laughing about, but it's enjoyable medicine. And so if you know that God is laughing, now why is God laughing? God knows your pain. God himself has experienced your pain. When he went to the cross, when he suffered in this world, Jesus is the only one that knows your pain. You may try to tell your pain to your friend, but they cannot relate to you. Even my wife, I can tell my wife things that I have gone through in my life. And she says, oh, I'll try to understand. But even she doesn't understand. Who understands me? Only Jesus Christ. He went through the pain. And he can meet you. And the Bible says, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. But see, Jesus is living on the resurrection side of the cross. Amen. He's been through it all. And now Jesus is exalted high, and the angels are crying, holy. Huh? And in heaven, he looks down at what Satan is doing in the UK and what Satan is doing in Nepal and in India. And God knows that Satan is like one of these insects. Huh? Satan is like that insect that wants to sting you, that wants to bother you. And the little children, oh, they're scared. Oh, it's a dangerous insect. And God says, ah. He sees Satan there, and God says, ha, 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 ha. Right? God says, I'm going to, the victory is already accomplished, he says, right? And if God is laughing in victory, and we hear his voice laughing in heaven, we should join. We should laugh. And it's an educated, intelligent laugh. It's not just some emotional ha 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 like that, right? There are many people who get into crazy laughter, and there's no mind to their laughter, right? But we have a mind to our laughter. We understand why we're laughing with God and the victory of Jesus Christ over Satan and over your problems as well. Jesus has the victory over your problems. So next time you have financial problems and school problems, don't take the tension. Take the laughter of God, the victory of God, and just learn to laugh. Isn't that a good medicine? To just learn to laugh. Have you learned to laugh in your home? You know, say some problem happens in your home, you know, something breaks or some internal conflict is, just try to laugh it off, right? Oh, I can't believe this happened. Laughter helps you get through something, right? Don't be negative. Be positive in faith. That's the medicine of Psalm chapter 2, right? The laughter of God. It's like a medicine bottle. I'm a spiritual pharmacist today. You come to me, you say, I'm sad, I'm being oppressed by things in life. And I am coming to you, I'm saying, I have a medicine bottle for you. I'm taking it from the pharmacy shelf. I'm saying, hey, listen, the bottle here says, Psalm chapter 2, take one in the morning and one in the night. Huh? And you will feel better in the morning. Amen? So if there's 150 chapters of Psalms, that's your homework assignment. Because if you, how many people in here are note takers? You love to take notes. It's like you go to college, you go to school, and you hear people teach, and you read the books, but you want to take some personal notes, amen? You should try this. Be a personal note taker. Don't learn with a passiveness. Learn with an activity, an action in your body, an action in your soul. Maybe some of you need this advice today. You're too passive, amen? It's okay, we all make the same mistakes. Don't be passive. Oh, you sit there in your college, in your university, or you're just in the taxi, or you're listening to something on the radio. Be someone who, what you're taking in, you're remembering it so it can benefit you. And if it's a bad thing you're listening to, then turn it off, right? But take notes on what you learn. Songs. You're listening to a good song. Memorize that song. Don't just listen. Internalize and memorize that good song. Be active in your listening. And as you study the Bible, this is some of you have this problem. You read the Bible, but then you forget what you've read. Amen? It happens to everyone. How many people read the Bible? Everyone should raise their hand. One day you read the Bible and you forgot what you read. It happens to everyone. Oh, I wake up in the morning. Pastor Tony said I should read the Bible. Okay, I'm going to read the Bible. And then you read something. Okay. And then, time to go. And Pastor Tony says, what did you read in the Bible today? right? I forgot. It happens in school, right? So be an active learner of the Word of God. Take notes, and you will become a spiritual pharmacist. You will know, you will memorize the Psalms and the medicine in the Psalms. So I'm going to finish. You know, I'm going to show a few pictures from India as we finish, but I'm going to give you one more chapter, which is Psalm chapter 3, the very next one. Psalm chapter 3. And as we discuss the medicine in Psalm chapter 3, after that, I'm going to show you a couple of photos just so you can get a taste of what God is doing in India. And then we're going to take a break. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for you in our break time. And if you've come today and you need prayer, Pastor Tony and I, all of our leaders here, we can pray with you. Maybe some of you need prayer today. Something special is happening in your life. There may be someone here today, you're not sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you have been. Have you been saved? Has Jesus Christ saved you when he died on the cross and did he forgive your sins? Have you given your sins to Jesus and said, forgive me? We can pray with you and we can make sure, like they say in Nepal, pakka, right? Pakka, be sure 100% that you're saved. That should be your prayer today. But if you have a prayer need, if you need counseling, we can pray with you after the church is finished today, and we'll take a break of prayer. And then guess what? I see was prepared today. We're going to have a fellowship lunch. How do you call it lunch here in the UK? Dinner? Supper? A brunch? And guess what? During our brunch, I'm going to show you more photos and tell you more stories of what God is doing today in India and Nepal and through other Greater Grace missions that we have, because you are a part of a small church in London that is a part of a big movement all over the world. Greater Grace Church, this is the church you walked into today. Greater Grace Church has 826 churches in the world, something like that. It's over 800. And Greater Grace Church has our church in Ghana, where Pastor Tony helped to start the church in Ghana. We have over 90 churches in India, 55 churches in Nepal with Cher. And we have churches in Nigeria, churches all over the world. And they're all connected. Did you know that? This is something interesting. Did you know that Greater Grace is such a unique church? Did you know that if you get to know people in Greater Grace, and just make friends. Greater Grace is a place just to make friends. Everyone is your friend. And sure, sometimes we have problems. We're sinners like everyone else, right? You may meet a sinner in Greater Grace. But you can make friendships with them because they love Jesus. And did you know something? Greater Grace is the type of church that you can call anyone who belongs to another Greater Grace church in like 65 countries in the world, right? And you can call them and you can have a free place to stay. Did you know that? I did that in Nepal. I called the people in Nepal and I saved my hotel bill and I slept on the sofa couch, right? You know, there's a website called couchsurfing.com. You ever tried couchsurfing.com? And strangers will let you sleep on their sofa bed couch, right? You know, Greater Grace is like that, but it's a family. You can travel the whole world. You can go all over Africa. We have Greater Grace in Congo. We have Greater Grace in Zambia and Zimbabwe. You can go travel to, you know, Cote d'Ivoire. And you can say, hey, Pastor Emil Conan in Cote d'Ivoire. I'm coming to Cote d'Ivoire. Can I stay in your home? Or can I stay in the church? You just sleep in the church. You may not want to sleep in the church on a sofa. You may want a hotel, you know. Maybe you like a hotel. But you know, you can make friendships in Greater Grace all over the world. In Romania, right? You can travel Europe, and there's a Greater Grace church everywhere. But I'm finishing with Psalm chapter 3, and we're going to show photos of India, your brothers and sisters in India. And I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer as we finish. Now, in Psalm chapter 3, maybe you can bring up Psalm chapter 3 on the scriptures, and we're going to be finishing with that. In Psalm chapter 3, again, every chapter of the psalm, you say, what is the problem, the emotional problem, and what is the medicine? Easy question, right? So let's ask that about Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of mine head. I'm going to stop there. So what is the problem? People speaking bad about you. How many people can remember you were hurt even by your friends and your school and your work because you were honestly doing something and then they spoke a lie about you? Or maybe you made a mistake. You did something wrong and you wish people would not shame you for that, and just you confessed your wrong and they should forgive and forget, but they will never let you forget your mistake, right? And what will they speak? Bad about you. People have this vitriol coming out of their mouths, and they will speak bad about you, and it hurts. You know, there's a poem we used to say as a child in America. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Did they say that in the UK? But you know that's not true. Sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will hurt you, especially your family and your friends. And even people that are not your friends saying something bad about you. And they say, even God will not help you in this psalm. I cannot believe why you did that. I can't look at what you did. And maybe they're telling lies. But even if they're telling the truth, at least they should forgive and forget about it, because God gives me a second chance. Amen. So that's a psychological problem if you are bothered by the words of people, right? Now, all of us have this problem, but Jesus said, if you have my peace that I give to you, Jesus said, I give you peace, not like the world gives you peace in John 15, 16. And what is the medicine here? And simply in verse 3, in Psalm chapter 3, in verse 3, there we are. You're a shield for me, number one, that Jesus is shielding all the bad words against me, and Jesus takes it on the cross. And whatever they say bad about me, they say bad about him. Amen. So don't dare speak bad about me, because I have a Savior and you're speaking bad about my Lord. Now, my Jesus, God is my glory. So if I have no glory of my own, but God is my glory, I don't care if my glory is put down, because he is my glory. But the best medicine I love in the book of Psalms is the next phrase. It says, you are the one who lifts my head. And this is the problem. Did you know that most of us have this problem? And you know what problem we have in our life? It's this. Our head is what? Hanging down. And sometimes it may happen in the church, Pastor Tony. People may come in the church. If you have a difficult time and you're struggling in your life, you may come into the church, and we want to encourage you. But you may come to Pastor Morley and say, good morning, Pastor Morley. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right? Or you're meeting new people. What's your name? But see, the head is hanging down. The position of the head tells you something. Because if your head is hanging down, you're thinking about me, me, me. Me, myself, and I, three people I think about all day. Me, my problems, my finances, my, right? And you're consumed with thoughts about me. But it says the Lord will do what? Lift your head, amen? Everyone needs to have their head lifted up by the Lord. You cannot lift your own head, but you need the Lord to say, Lord, I can't. You lift my head, please. And as you hear about love from God, grace from God, kindness of our Savior, suddenly you, and even the singing helps. We want to thank whoever's in the praise team and the singing. We want to thank you for singing those songs because you are lifting, you're God. God is using you to lift our heads, amen? And as you lift your head, what happens? You may not know the words to the songs, right? And so your head is hanging down. It's okay. But just say, Lord, please lift my head. And enter into the worship. Amen? This is medicine for you. Because many people, isn't it a simple problem? You go to a psychologist. You go to some other doctor, right? And they, oh, I have this problem. What's the problem? This. What's the medicine? This. God's solution is very simple. Just lift your head with the help of the grace of God. Lift your head. Lift your head. And after you lift your head, pray for your brothers and sisters. I'm going to finish with this. Is there a few photos? I'll show two or three photos in my presentation. Two or three photos if you can pray for these people. And I'm going to ask Pastor Morley to finish us in prayer. And if you need any prayer today, Pastor Morley can call you and we can pray together. And then we'll go for our brunch. Amen. And so in my presentation, is it about ready? Okay. There's a few photos on down after the notes. There's my wife and I. Okay. Now, Pastor Ganesh is there. I'm preaching. Pastor Ganesh is translating for me. He's like the Billy Graham of India. And next photo. Okay, there's the map. We're in Mumbai right here. Next photo, we're in Maharashtra state. Next photo, there's the Marathi, Gujarati, Hindi, Nepali, all these languages, right? Next one. Okay, so this is what I wanted to show you. Two or three photos of this. When I came to Mumbai, I discovered there were some people living, rich people, living in high-rise apartments. And they were looking out their window, and 10 million, half the city of Mumbai, 10 million people are living in what? They say a chawl. I call it a slum. Like this, right? See, the rich people live in that building, and then, you know the people living in this slum, right? It's like brick house upon brick. It's an illegal squatter settlement. 10 million people live like that in Mumbai. Because they come from all over India. A million come from Nepal and live like that. A million Nepalis. And you know what we did? I got into my heart because Jesus is living in my heart. I said to our Greater Grace church members, I said, let's go there. Let's walk into the slum and make friends. Amen. Did you know that a slum is the most beautiful place on the earth, home here in the UK? Because why? Even though there's only one toilet for all of those people, right? Did you know that when you walk into that slum, when you meet one person, you've met all of them? Why? They're so friendly and hospitable. Have you ever met people more hospitable than the Indian and Nepali culture? Amen. Of course, every culture has this hospitality, right? except for the UK doesn't have as much as even America sometimes are just, you know, why are you here, right? So, but the Indian culture and the Nepali culture, and I'm sure your culture as well, is hospitable. And let's look at the next photo. Again, like, this is a slum just on the outskirts, like a village slum. Next photo. Ah, there, see? We walk into these squatter settlements, and we just simply, there's trash everywhere. But I just simply walk on the lane, and I go with a translator. I speak some Hindi. Me tuti futi Hindi bolto hu, okay? Ali ali Nepali bolto hu. And, well, now, how, you don't knock on the door. What do? The door, you know what the door is? Like a, they get a blanket, like a kurta, and they just use it as a door. And so you simply, you push it aside. Hello, auntie, uncle. I say, I'm here for prayer. Prarthana. And they say, everyone wants prayer, right? And you know what they do? Almost all of them say, come in for chai. Huh? I love chai, tea, right? Sometimes my wife goes with the ladies, I go with the men. We'll have 10 cups of chai in one day. You did that. You did. You love it. And when you were there, you also had that. You went to the Indian homes and had a chai. So we make friendships, and then we tell the story of Jesus. Now, they will have every idol on their shelf. They'll have Shiva, the elephant god Ganesh, the monkey god Hanuman, right? And every god is there. We don't attack their god. We don't say, how dare you worship this Hanuman, right? We don't attack their gods. We lift up Jesus, and they fall in love with Jesus. We come a second time. We come a third time. We just patient with them. One day we come to them again, and I say, what happened to Hanuman? He's gone. The monkey god, the elephant god. And they said, do you have like an idol of Jesus Christ I can just have? I said, no. Like, we don't worship Jesus as a little action hero, like Iron Man. But we worship Jesus in spirit, in truth, and we give them a Bible, amen? And then, now next photo, our pastor, my wife and I, we work together. Next photo. Back, there we go. Then we invite them. This is the church that Pastor Tony Morley preached at. It was the one just next. We changed from one to the next, just next door. That was the exact same look of what you saw. You see, in America, we call this a garage. I don't know what you would call this. You just open up the door, and it's just one room. There might be a back room with a hole in the ground for a little toilet, right? And people sleep on the floor, right? Now, we rent this hall. Now, these are the church members. We have maybe 40, 50 church members. Why? Because we did a Bible study in their home. We brought Jesus to their home, and then they came to the church, and they were converted to Jesus by the Holy Spirit. But what happens is, because everything's public, and is it the same in Nepal? There's no privacy. When you live in Nepal, there's no privacy. And especially with 20 million people, you're having church, and there's 20 people outside the church. What's going on? Like, I hear the singing. I'm not a Christian, but I'm curious. And people are joining the church, and we simply say, let's pray. And even the Hindus in the back are like, yeah, let's pray. Right? Now, they're not being converted to Christ in that picture, but they're just learning how to pray, right? Like, practice praying. Pamashwar Pita Dhanyavad Prabhu Yeshuka Namse, right? And the Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Don't call God Hanuman, monkey. Call God Father, right? Next picture. And then, like, this boy born with his half of an arm coming to church. My wife teaching Sunday school. Next picture. This boy born with polio. Next photo. Bethany teaching Sunday school. Next photo. Our assistant pastors. Next photo. And again, church. This is inside of a school. Our second church, we rent a school, have church inside of a school. Next photo. The ladies will sit on this side and the men will sit on that side. But the Indian women have the most beautiful garments, don't they? I love the kurtas and the saris. Next photo. Now, that's the outside of the church. Everyone take off your shoes and leave them at the door. Amen. Next photo. That's the monkey god, Hanuman. He's standing tall above the train. That's in New Delhi, actually. Next photo. And that's the elephant god, Ganesh. And next photo. And that's the people who actually don't have... People living in the slum have money. But there are people who have even less money than the people in the slum. And they live in a tent outside the slum. Let's turn down the photos and I need to finish. Because guess what? As we eat our food, I'm going to show you some more photos, not just of the slums, but I'm going to show you photos of our Greater Grace sisters and brothers that you can pray for, and we'll have our food together in fellowship. So as we close today, I want you to think about this. Pray. I want you to bow your heart and close your eyes before God and pray that God would touch you with such a medicine of His Word and the Spirit that today, there's some of you here today, you came in with your problems, but I want you to leave healed. Amen? I want you to be healed today in this Greater Grace Church service. Now, each one of us needs to be healed in our hearts in a different way. And we need to pray together. And so, some of you need to surrender and just give your emotions and your problems to Christ. Maybe you need pastor to pray with you. You need our assistant pastor to pray with you. Other believers can pray together. So you need a spiritual pharmacy. You need to study the Word of God and be serious and take notes and learn God speaking through the Bible. Amen? And yesterday we went to a Bible museum. We're going to invite you to go to a Bible museum here in London that will tell you the history of the Bible, where they have John Wycliffe's Bible and Tyndale's Bible when he was burnt at the stake for translating the Bible into English. And there's a museum down the road that has Tyndale's Bible, the original Bible, the first edition. And they have, you know, the old Greek manuscripts and the Hebrew manuscripts. It's a Bible that's a living Bible. It's been preserved. The same Bible that was written 2,000 years ago is the same Bible we have now. And you go to the museum and they've proven that it's been kept by God through all the people who died for the faith, the martyrs of the faith. They died for the Bible. They died for the Bible. And we can just read the Bible today and we can be healed. And I just challenge you, read the Bible, study Psalms, become a spiritual pharmacist, and you can teach me something that I never saw, because Holy Spirit will teach you. And so I want to finish in prayer. Some of us need prayer today. If you're not saved, if you don't know that you're going to heaven, we can pray for you. And I want to ask Pastor Tony, once you finish up with prayer.
Sure. Yeah. Isn't it wonderful we have a Heavenly Father that hears our prayer? Isn't that beautiful? In fact, it's interesting because next Sunday, God already told me the theme for next Sunday is the Father Heart of God. That is my subject. I don't usually know a week ahead of time, but I do this time. The Father Heart of God. Isn't that beautiful? There are many religious people in the world. Many. I've often said this is one of the most unreligious parts of the world.